and despise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We've arrived on the mountain of Beatitude. And remember what we spoke about yesterday, that here on this pilgrimage, what our Lord is offering you and I the opportunity is to investigate who he truly is, and to listen to his words, and to walk in the places where he himself has walked. And so here we are, on this blessed mountain, where he speaks to you and I about what it really means to be blessed. One of the things that each of you and longs for at the depths of your heart is for what it truly means to be happy. All of us desire to be happy. Why is it that some of you took this morning some of the dates that were off on that other section where there's fruit? I don't know if you knew that there was fruit this morning. Lots of dried fruit, mangoes and dried kiwi, dried pineapple slices, dried mango. Some of you seem like you don't know where those things are. Talk to your neighbor. I didn't find out until this morning. There's a reason why you reached for those things instead of the cornflakes. Why is the reason why you reached for those instead of cornflakes? Because cornflakes don't make you happy. That's why. Nobody was ever made happier because of cornflakes. But people are made happier when they taste the sweetness of the fruit of the earth. A fruit. Everything it is that you do for a reason. It's because you want to be happy. You want to find something that raises your spirit beyond the place where it normally seems to find itself. The law and science, as our scientist over here will tell you. He's got an advanced degree, so you might as well be a scientist, right? There's a law of increasing entropy. And that increasing entropy is a big word for saying things don't continually getting better and better. Continually keep getting worse and worse. Isn't that right, Diacono? Life a little bit harder, a little bit harder. Each step a little bit more difficult, a little bit more difficult. It's because the body breaks down. Because everything in this world breaks down. And so if we're looking for something that'll take us beyond where things continually seem like they're breaking down to something that will raise up in a deeper sense. We want to be happy. We want to find meaning. And what our Lord speaks to on this holy hill, Mount of Beatitude, is he speaks about how you can break away from the way in which the world seems to be continually going down and down and down, the way in which our souls, through the actions that we take, seem to always be reaching a high point and then petering off. And what is the way in which we can take that petering off and see that that's not the way that it seems? Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 7. These chapters here, these beautiful words which our Lord spoke here on the Mount of Beatitude, what our Lord uses is what we speak about in preaching terms or in any sort of speaking terms. He uses a counterfactual. You know what a counterfactual is? Fabian, do you know what a counterfactual is? No. Okay. So we're doing new material now. Counterfactual. It's very easy to understand. It means contra to the facts. It means something that you don't expect. You think it's this, but it's not that. And that's what our Lord speaks continuously during this passage, about a lot of counterfactuals. What does he say? He says, blessed are you who are sorrowing. When you're in sorrow, is that something you think of being blessed? Something that you're thankful for? No. What about blessed are you when people spitefully use you, when they run your name down, when they treat you like dirt? Is that something that's a cause of rejoicing? You say, wow, that guy just made an obscene gesture toward me. That's exciting. We don't think about that. But our Lord says, blessed. Blessed are you when this happens. Again, he says, blessed are you who are merciful. Now, that one we might not struggle with as much until you realize what mercy means. Mercy means giving somebody grace, letting somebody off the hook, specifically for one reason, because they don't deserve it, because they've done something really bad. Does that feel good when somebody you know is getting away with it, and you're the one who lets them get away? That doesn't feel good, does it? But our Lord, what he says, is he says, blessed. Blessed are you when this happens. Blessed are you when that's the attribute which describes you the most. Why? Because there's something good around the corner. It says, blessed are you when you're sorrowing, because there's an opportunity to be consoled. Think of the moments when you yourself were sad, when you were sorrowing, when it felt like you were at a total loss, when there were tears streaming down your face. And because somebody realized that you were sorrowing, what happened? Somebody had an opportunity to console you. We think that if we don't show emotion, if we don't reveal what is actually going on within our souls that is too much for us, if we put on a front that seems that we're so strong, then that's the way to really be happy, to just grit through it. It's not what our Lord says. Blessed are you who let it all out. Not only in a human sense are you going to receive that, but our Lord God knows all these things. And so when you express that to God, and you let all that out to God as though he doesn't know already anyway, it's showing that weakness and revealing that weakness that allows God to touch something in the interior of who you are. And then you can actually experience what it means to be happy, consoled, joy-filled. When you begin to know what it's like to let somebody get away with somebody for something for the very express purpose that they don't deserve it, and they're probably going to do it again and again, the way in which that hurts in you opens you up in a way to realize, isn't that what our Lord does for us? We time and time again say, I've screwed up, so I'm going to go ahead and do what God asked me to do and go to confession. I'm not going to pretend like I can actually heal this wound on my own and saying, well, I'm just going to talk it to God. That doesn't heal. Nobody who does that goes away forgiven. Remember, Jesus says he's given his priests that ministry of reconciliation. The 10 lepers were sent to the priests to receive the cause of healing. So it's the hand of the priest that forgiveness is really given. Everyone who tries to deal with their sins on their own goes to the very place where everybody goes who deal with their sins on their own. To speak in euphemistic terms, it's not the good place. Today we're here on a first Saturday. There's something special about a first Saturday. First Saturday is where Our Lady has called for us to do reparation for our sins, particularly for reparations against those who've destroyed the name of Our Lady, spoken ill of her. What I would always think about when my Protestant friends, or those who are not yet my friends, would speak bad about Our Lady, I would try to remind them gently that if any of them started talking about my mother that way, they know what they would deserve and what they would probably get pretty swiftly. Now turn that about Jesus' mother. And what do you think Jesus would do to somebody who speaks bad about his mother if I, who am very imperfect, would do something in like matter if they spoke about mine? This is the day where Our Lady asks, not because she needs the reparation, but because the world and humanity needs the reparation. Because reparation is due wherever there is evil which is done. And so these are the days where we all the more proclaim those great teachings about Our Lady and her Immaculate Conception, conceived perfectly in the womb, so that she could be the new Eve, and be the perfect vessel for Christ. The way in which she was bodily assumed into heaven, which is to be taken up, which we just celebrated in the last Holy Day of Obligation, the 15th, Ferragosto. The way in which Our Lady has a heart which immaculately burns for you and I, and we are given to her as not just regular children, but the children who belong to her in her Son, and how she wishes to carry you and I through. And so today, on this particular day, what are we called to do in reparation? Does anybody know what the first Saturday devotions is all about? What do you have to do? Somebody said go to confession. That's right. So go to confession. What else? Meditate upon the mysteries of the rosary, right? For how long? For 3 minutes? 15. 2 minutes? 15 minutes. Okay. That's all the mysteries, or one of the mysteries, or some of the mysteries? As many of the mysteries as you want. That's right. As many of the mysteries as Our Lady draws you to. Okay. What else?
Attend Mass.
How many of you can check that one off today? There you go. So you've got one of them so far, all of you. What else? Receive the Eucharist. So going to Mass, receiving the Eucharist. So these are the graces that we have to give ourselves to. And when we do that, what does Our Lady say that will happen? What does she say that will occur? She says that when we give ourselves to this first Saturday devotion, what she will do is, and we have compassion upon her merciful heart, going to confession, receiving communion, devoutly receiving the praying the rosary, meditating, with the intention of making reparation to her Sacred Heart, or to her Immaculate Heart. And then she says, here are the five promises. I'll read them off for you, so we'll get them all out. She says, first, you will save your soul. To all those who, on the first Saturdays, if 5 consecutive months fulfill all the conditions I have requested, I promise to assist them at the hour of their death with all the graces so that they might attain to the salvation of their own soul. She says, secondly, that not only will you save your own soul, but you'll purchase the salvation of sinners. How many of you all were sent here because somebody has left the faith, or is not practicing the faith in the way that they should, or having struggle within their own lives? Children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters who aren't living rightly. First Saturday devotion is what will begin to heal them in that way. Our Lady desires that we make reparation for those sins committed against her and against her sons, so that these graces might be visited not just on ourselves, but on those who are nearest to us. And she says that there'll be a third grace, which is peace in the world. The world needs a lot of peace. And so what Our Lady says, she says, come to me and I will have more recourse to he who is the Prince of Peace, so that he might shed his peace upon other hearts, particularly poor sinners, as we said, and Russia, conversion of Russia, and all her errors of communism and socialism, Marxism, which have unleashed untold horrors throughout the world. Started in 1917 when she appeared at Fatima, where she did much good, Satan saw a way in and worked his way through Russia and spread her errors all throughout the world. That's why we do reparation at this time. And so here, when we're on the Mount of Beatitude, we're asking our Lord that he will begin to convert our hearts by approaching us with all these counterfactual things. I want you to read that passage. Take some time. We got lots of time today on the bus ride, lots of time in other times. Read through those passages. Just 5-3 chapters. Short, too. And you'll see how our Lord continually says, you think that this is the way the world works, but I'll tell you, this is the way to true happiness. You think this is the way that you protect yourself, make sure that you yourself are taken care of. I tell you, he who seeks to preserve his life is the only one who's going to lose his life. But he who seeks to lose his life for my sake and the sake of my gospel is the only one who knows how to preserve it unto eternal life. Again and again, he presents to you and I something that seems like it's beyond our grasp and doesn't make any sense in a worldly sense. But the gospel, as it says, is revealed to those who make themselves little and childlike, who think not like strategists seem to put the world within their own little box and perspective, but those who humble themselves like the humble teacher of Nazareth, as Father Mike Shea always used to say to us, who look upon the things that are all around them and pull the teachings from the lilies filled, who seem to spring up and grow and show out their lustrous beauty. But at eventide, they wither and fade away. And yet in all the beauty of the greatest fashion models and the greatest kings of this earth, the ones who are important in the style magazines and in Hollywood, think that they're dressed in such richness, aren't clothed as beautifully as these ones. And how all the little pajaritos who cantan sin cesar, those little birds who sing so beautifully throughout the world, how they don't toil or store away in the barns, our Lord says, but yet our Heavenly Father not only knows when they fall from the nest, but he makes sure that they have enough to eat. And you and I worry about something. That's why our Lord says, don't worry about what happened yesterday, because you can't change it. Don't worry about what might come tomorrow, because tomorrow has sufficient worry for itself. But rather, let our Lord take care of you now. These are just a tidbit of what our Lord says in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And the more and more you and I begin to recognize what the values of the gospel are that he presents in the simple way. Here, looking at the simple things that are founded upon these hills and valleys, the more and more you and I begin to realize the kingdom of God, not merely as something that we're reaching toward in the eschaton, meaning in the latter days when finally our Lord comes back and ends all the difficulties that are around us, but it begins to reign within our hearts, which is the real place where our Lord desires to set up his kingdom. Listen to the Lord in the counterfactuals that he puts before us, and then the deepest desire of your human heart will be realized, not for a happiness that merely lasts within this world, that has a high, that ultimately has a low, that comes beyond it. But how our Lord says that even those things which you think are the lowest moments, when you reveal your weakness before the Lord and entrust them to him, that he knows how to make all things well and to lead us to a blessedness that is beyond human understanding. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.